Thanks, Lynette. Yeah, to remain soft and responsive. Is it okay if I sit down? You can all see me? It's cool. Who said no? Just want to share a few things, just quickly. So these guys responded to a call. And the question I want to ask you is, are we always quick to respond? Are we responsive? I'm not saying that you should have been up front here. Because for some of us, the call is to be here and to count here. For some of us, the call is to go much further. Matthew 28:19, go into all the world and make disciples. There's always a call. And if we call to be here, are we growing? Are we growing? Are we flourishing where we planted? And the question is, are you ready for God to do what he wants to through you? Because I felt we were reminded of a readiness, a responsiveness. Right now, there's a lot of places in this congregation where we need people to step up into. These guys are leaving big voids. They were the deacons and the ladies that were involved in youth and a lot of things. Right now, we have gaps. We have gaps in kids' church. So if you're here, you have children here, and you're not involved in that, consider that. We have gaps in admin, in worship, in sound, audiovisual. Com leading. Yep, com leading. Good one, yeah. I think we need 3 new com leaders. Com leader couples. Think about it. What's keeping you from being a com leader? Ask the Lord. Ask your com leader. This is exciting things, but it's also serious things. Are we responding? Amado, you've been doing such a good job up there. Can you put up Isaiah 6, please? And I quickly want to go through some of this. Old Testament, Isaiah writing. I trust most of you have read this before. It gives us the date. And it gives us a vision that Isaiah sees, and he writes this down. He says, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above him were seraphs with 6 wings. And it goes on how amazing and beautiful this is. Amado, can you go on, please? And they were calling to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And it's just this amazing glimpse into heaven where these beings are worshiping. And it's just incredible. And then Isaiah sees all this. And then he says in verse 5 there, he says, woe to me. I am ruined. He sees the contrast between what's happening there and himself. And he's saying, I suck. I'm so bad compared to all this happening. I am ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips. So he finds that humility. He's like, I should not be here. I should not be able to witness this. Okay, go on, Amado, please. Then the seraphs flew to me with a live coal. With it, he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Verse 8, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? It's a voice going out into the heavenlies. Whom shall I send? And go for us. And who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. From that place of humility, that place of revelation, that place of, this is what it's about. It's about him. He is that big. He is that amazing. He is that beautiful, that glorious. I am nothing compared to that. That position, that low point of humility, there's a call and there's a response. And these guys that have responded here, I know they're humble people. I can vouch for their humility and their responsiveness. But that's what I want to talk about. Are we responsive? And do we have the humility to go, ooh, I need to change. Or I need to go. Or I need to step up. Whatever it may be. Do we have that humility? And I think that's something we'll be talking about more in the next few weeks. But are we responsive like that? Because when you really see him, you actually can't help it. It was a quick response. Here I am. Maybe he shouldn't even have, you know, said that. You can check the angels. Who? Who is that? You know? Are we responsive? Have we ever missed God's call? Could it be that there was an opportunity that God had for you that you thought, nah, it's too risky, too expensive, too radical? Whatever it could be. It could be. It could, one day we'll see. But I'm not yet to put you on a guilt trip about that. Romans 11:29 says, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That means God won't change his mind about what he has for you. He's got it for you. He's still got those things for you. He's bigger than our faults. He can bring those things around again. He just wants our heart posture right. 2 Timothy 1:16, Paul writing, he says, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. So what are the gifts and calling we need to be reminded of? But you see, Paul writes and he says, I remind you to fan this into flame. So it can happen that you don't, that it's not burning. And Paul comes, no, I'm reminding you of this. I hope that I'm doing the same tonight to remind us of this. I had the story of a couple that was retiring, and they were retiring quite healthy and wealthy. And the interviewer asked them, so what are you going to do now? And they said, well, we bought a little island. It's in the tropics. And every day we'll wake up, and it'll just be beautiful. And in the afternoons, we'll walk at low tide and pick up seashells. And everybody celebrated that as, whoa, that sounds so beautiful, so idyllic. And I thought, imagine they get to the Lord one day and he asks, what have you done? What have you done for me? And they go, look at our seashells. You know? That's it. I mean, holidays are good. I love them. But what do you want to show him that you've done? You've been responsive to him or not? A few weeks ago, we spoke about holding on to your life or giving your life. Some cars are driving around now with bumper stickers saying, one life, give it. I've noticed. Speak to Vaughn. Are we sacrificing our lives for him? Even this message right now, will you remember it next week? I don't know. Do you remember last week when Andrew read those scriptures? The week before? Do we embed what is taught in front here? Or have we become a little bit calloused to speaking here and going, yes, that's true. And you go on with your life without changing. Religion can easily withhold us from responding. So that's something to look out for. I had this picture of an octopus. Now you all know what that looks like, right? Amado, can you help me out here? There we go. Okay, just to make sure everybody knows what I'm talking about. And I have this idea that we should be like these guys. Do you know they are so extremely responsive in so many ways? They have chemoreceptors on their suckers. So they have hundreds of suckers on their 8 tentacles, right? You all know this. Have you ever... you've held them, you've sucked on you. They have chemoreceptors on their suckers, which means they taste what they feel. They taste what they touch. So they can go, ooh, chocolate. You know? Think about that. They can sense that much. They have something called opsins on their skin. It's photoreceptors. They can see light and color with their skin. They don't need their eyes to see it. They can stick their arm around a rock, and their arm knows what color to camouflage to not be seen without the eye seeing the color on that side. That's how responsive an octopus is to its environment, to the cues it's giving. It's extremely ready and quick to respond to danger, to predators, and to prey. I've had them in fish tanks. And you'll see the octopus in the corner, and there'll be little fish swimming around, and you'll just see these tentacles go like quicksilver, flow, and the little... and do this, and then it senses the fish and then grabs it and pulls it in and eats it. And other times there's a big crab on the other side of the tank, and it gets close to the crab and it feels it's a crab, and it's immediately gone, you know, and withdrawing its arm, because obviously the crab would like to eat that arm, you know. But the sense of, can we be as responsive as these animals? I got this picture of that we should be like octopuses, I don't know. Yeah. Octopi. And their tentacles are not weak. They're sensitive, but they're extremely strong when they need to be. They can pull things open, break things, hold on to things. Extremely strong. And it's just this picture for us to be sensitive and responsive. Are we a responsive people? I wanna end there, because our bums are sore and there's lots of nice things to eat. But can I ask you, can we consider ourselves like that? Jesus is coming soon. We have so little time, guys. There's stuff for us to do. We need to be sent places. We need to stay. Do you know that in the first year that myself and Jeanette, that we led here, we sent 52 people from this congregation? I have their names, and I have the places they went to. 52 people. I think we got 7 in. Merv and his family is one, and there's some other people. And yet, our numbers did not dip. There's a general increase. God bless the sowing. Growth is healthy, and growth means fruitfulness. Only when we have the blessing of fruitfulness that we can send. What a blessing. It's for Him. It's all for Him, guys. Can we be a responsive people, devoted to the Lord and quick to follow Him and His Spirit when the Spirit moves? Stay close behind Him. Clarence, where are you? I need your help. I love that we're a team and we have guys like him here. But it's not just a call for go and do these great things. God calls our heart as well. He touches us and He calls us from one degree of glory to the next all the time. And He calls us into the more all the time. Will we have the posture of going, okay, yes, Lord, I will go. I'll step into it. Because He's not going to force that on you. You have a free choice. You can be where you are and stay the way you are. But God has so much more for you. Why would you not?
So with a message like that and a worship time like we had before that, where the focus was on, are you living in the fullness of what God has for you? That's the bottom line. I feel tonight God is asking the same question that He asked in Genesis 3. He asked Adam, where are you? And that question is still echoing through eternity to here, tonight. God is asking you, where are you? Are you en route to where God has instructed you to go? Or are you hiding behind leaves, your own works or your own excuses, why you are not where God expected to find you when He came to walk in the garden? And I really feel we need to do that spiritual audit on our lives tonight. Ask yourself, where are you? Actually, in the worship, I had two things, but the one specifically was that God gave an opportunity. He wrestled with you before. He's asked you before to do something for Him, and you said no. And He had the grace again to ask you again tonight. He's asked you tonight again, where are you? And the answer is not, here am I, send Him. The answer is, here am I, send me. And I feel that this is one of those moments that you should not miss. God has extended His grace to give you another opportunity to walk in what He's planned for your life. He requires a response from you. I actually had a second word, and I just shared it, by the way, with Jacques then. And then Jacques said, okay, I can share it now. I actually felt that there's at least one person here, or there might be more than one. And it feels to you like your boat is about to sink. And that's purely because you're not heading where God is calling. God has called you to Nineveh, and to Nineveh from Joppa, there's no boat ride. It's sand. So if you're on a boat, you're heading the wrong way. And God is extending that. He's saying to you, you're praying for him not to let your boat sink. But the best you can actually do is just dive over, let the fish take you and spit you out, and then you'll walk 500 miles and you might have to walk 500 more. But you'll be heading to where God is calling you. But then there are people here, there might be somebody here tonight, and you're exactly where Adam was when God called him. God said, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice. And I was afraid. So I hid myself. And that reaction is caused by sin. Us hiding, us fearing God, or being in a fearful state, is the direct result of sin. Sin separates us. Sin comes between us, between us and God. And I want to ask you tonight, maybe you've been through this whole evening and you don't understand the sending and the going, and why will people pack up their lives and go to another place because they felt God speak to them. The reason why you don't understand that is because you don't have a personal relationship with God. Now, many of us think that because we were born in a Christian country, we were raised in a Christian home, that makes us Christians. That only makes us non-Muslims. Because a Christian is not born. A Christian is born again. And it's based on a decision that you make to come before a holy God and repent of your sin. And proclaim Jesus as the Messiah and to believe that God has raised him from the dead, because in the resurrection we find our inheritance. And maybe you've been attending church since childhood. You've been speaking the right language. You've been saying all the right stuff, but there's an emptiness inside of you. Every time you hear God speak, you hide behind a fig leaf because you're afraid. You're scared. Because in that moment, when God spoke to Adam, what Adam experienced, we still experience today. And that's fear, guilt, and shame. And that's caused by sin. And tonight, God wants to set you free of that. But he's not going to set you free because your name is written in a book in some denomination's register. Your freedom comes when he writes your name in the book of life. So I want to extend that welcome to you tonight. If you've been living a Christian-like life without a personal relationship with Jesus himself, then tonight all you need to do is say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. You are the Messiah. You died for me and you rose again from the dead. I believe in you. If that's you, I'm not going to extend this long. If that's you, if you want to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, because there's a void in your life that you've tried to fill with the world and you've tried to fill it with church, but it's empty, that void can only be filled by Jesus. So if that's you, if you want that void filled tonight, if you want to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior tonight, just pop up your hand. I want to tell you, popping up your hand won't save you. Me praying for you won't save you, but we will lead you to the one that can save you. So if that's you, I can't see through this that far. But if that's you, just pop up your hand and we're going to get people around you to pray for you. If you need Jesus, if you need to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior tonight, don't be shy. Don't hide behind a fig leaf. Don't hide behind another excuse. God has overlooked the times of ignorance. And he's calling us to repentance tonight. Is there anybody tonight? If you see somebody next to you with their hand up, please indicate that to me. Merv wants to say something? Sure. But if you felt the Spirit in you stir while I was talking now, don't leave this building without chatting to one of us, please. It's so important. Eternity is at stake. Or should I rather say, where you spend eternity is at stake. Don't depend. Don't depend on where you grew up or who your parents were. Serving Jesus is a personal matter. And it calls for personal repentance. So please don't leave this building. Come chat to one of us. I know the cakes will be lovely, but there's something more important than cakes and desserts. That's making sure that you're in right relationship with God. Amen.
Hey guys, I know we've been sitting, and I just felt this urgency as to what Jacques was sharing and Clarence, and I have this awkward portion of scripture that's been jumping out in my heart ever since Jacques was speaking, and I really felt we needed to nail this thing within us as being a responsive people to the Lord. Responsive individually and responsive corporately. And I had Song of Songs chapter 5 burning in my heart, and it's a little bit of an age restriction here, but bear with me, I need to read it. This is now the bride speaking. She was now already in her room, getting ready to get into bed and sleep. And then the groom comes and he knocks. And then she said, I slept, but my heart was awake. When I heard my lover knocking and calling, open to me, my treasure, my darling, my dove, my perfect one. My head is drenched with dew, my hair with dampness of the night. But I responded when he knocked. I have taken off my robe. Should I get dressed again? I have washed my feet. Should I get them soiled again? My lover tried to unlatch. He was now being forceful. He was urgent. There was something in his heart. He was urgent. My lover tried to unlatch the door. My heart thrilled within me. Then she jumped up. I jumped. When I felt his urgency, it was now just not a knock. There was urgency behind what he was doing. And I'll explain this now. I jumped up to open the door for my love. I opened to my lover, but he was gone. My heart sank. I searched for him, but could not find him anywhere. I called to him, but there was no reply. Then the night watchman found me. As they made their rounds, they beat me, they bruised me, they stripped me of my veil. And then she continues, she finds the daughters of Jerusalem. And then she says, help me find him, I've lost him. And so here's the point of what I'm trying to say tonight. Here's the story. He came to her, he knocked, he called. Her response to that call in that moment was excuses. I've already got dressed to get into bed. I mean, I've just washed my feet. Are you sure? Because I'll get it dirty again. And so now she's having these excuses. And then there's an urgent push. There's an urgent knock. And she realizes the urgency of the hour. She realizes that it's him. He's there. And she gets up and she runs to the door. She opens up and she missed him. He left. And as a result of him leaving and as a result of her searching, in other words, the fact that she responded late set her on a course of abuse. She was abused by the watchman because it was night. They found her, they beat her, they stripped her of her clothing. All this as a result of a late response. All this is a result of excuses to say, I'm coming. Of her excuses to say, yes. There's something of a people that when the knock comes and the call is there, they respond quickly. You know what they find? They find him. They find him. They find the blessing. They find the favor. They find the joy. They find the purpose. They find his intent. They're fruitful. They're accurate. They're impactful. But when we are slow to respond, it might be that we miss the opportunity that's waited at the door. And it actually, instead of leading us to a blessing, it leads us into seasons of hardship and difficulties. Because he's faithful to come and knock, and he's faithful to come and call. So my encouragement is, when he does knock, when he does call, be quick to respond, that you may still find him at the door. Does that make sense to you? Individually, we have to be responsive people. But this PM family, corporately, we have to be responsive. Not one or two. When he knocks, when he calls, we all move to the door immediately. And we find the one we love. Amen. As an encouragement. Cool.
I find that so scary that we could miss him and go into a time of just difficulty and knowing that we've missed him. I have the sense that the Lord is asking, where are you? And he's going to be asking it for the next little while. So it feels like there's a window. Let's be responsive like Jacques spoke. Let's be quick to say, Lord, I'm numb. I don't want numbness. I want you. I don't want to speak more.